You turn in your Bibles this morning to Luke chapter 1 and also Matthew chapter 4. And we're going to put aside the series on Revelation during this Christmas season so that we can focus upon the Christmas message and the reason of it all, the reason why we're here this morning. Amen. The reason you drove through snowy weather to get here. Amen. It's because of our Savior, and He has come. Amen. Some have already wondered about tonight's service, and we'll take care of things. I'll preach double long this morning just in case we have to miss out on tonight's service. We won't miss anything. How about that? I'm not sure if you're laughing because you think I'm joking or you're frightened. Amen. I apologize. My iPad just went kaput, and so I'm going to have to try to preach off my phone if I can read it. But if you'd stand for the reading of God's Word, this may look a little awkward, but I do have a message this morning. I remember years ago, but that's before anything went electronic, the old holiness preacher, he got up, and he said, you know, when I was young, there was a lot of preachers that preached against using notes. He said, I'm so glad I never did, because now I'm old and I need them. And so sometimes they're a necessity. In Luke chapter 1, verse 78, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the dayspring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet in the way of peace. And then we're going to turn to Matthew chapter 4. And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the sea coast in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. And here's what it says. The people which sat in darkness saw great light. And to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. We're not Zebulun and we're not Naphtali, but we are people who had sat in darkness, but we've seen a great light. We sat in the region in the shadow of death, but light sprung up in our hearts and in our lives. I'm going to preach this morning just as a shortened title for those sitting in darkness, but the message is, He came for those sitting in darkness. That's who He came for. Let's bow our hearts and pray. Could we do it? Father, in Jesus' name, I pray that You'd move right now by Your anointing. Make the message real all over again by the power of the Holy Spirit. God, we ask You to speak to our hearts, speak to our lives. Lord, make the message completely new and real, that we have good news to share. Good news has come to us. Lord, if there be one in this service that not yet has had that light shine of their life, I pray that would happen, Lord, before we leave here. In Christ's name. Amen. Okay. I don't know if I can or not. Thank you. You can be seated. I had a unique experience last Sunday night. If you were here, you'll remember that the Holy Spirit was moving in the service, kind of just took over things, and I was standing right over here, and in a flash, I had something come to me. I saw a figure hunched over, a darkened figure hunched over in a chair in a dark room, in the shadows of a dark room. And as I saw that in my mind's eye, I saw that person quickly morph from man to woman, from old down through the ages to young, that dark figure. It was disturbing for a moment, but as I watched that in my mind's eye, I felt those people that I saw, I felt their hopelessness. I felt their imprisonment, their despair. I felt the ugliness of their darkness and their dismay. And it came to me so clearly, that was representative of people without Christ. And it came to me so clearly that God wanted to and God could shine in their darkness and dispel the darkness that has imprisoned them and bound them. I mean, that's the message that we have to preach. That is the Christmas story. A light has come to shine in the darkness of the night. Make no mistake, people everywhere around us, they are prisoners of the darkness of their lives. And only, I want to emphasize, only the light of Jesus can bring them out of their darkness. Only the light of Jesus can dispel their darkness. Darkness is a horrible thing. Darkness has permeated every part of their lives. But even though darkness is so prevalent in their life and living, I still believe that Jesus is a light that can overcome, push back, dispel, rid them of darkness. I'm going to say a lot later in the message, but I want to say it right now. Light always triumphs over darkness. Hallelujah. There's no darkness that can triumph. Amen. I want to look at this, but I want to tell you, as I read this morning, both Luke through the mouth of Zechariah and then Matthew later in the life of Christ as he began his ministry, they recognize that the coming of Jesus as a babe, the coming of a Jesus as the beginning of his ministry, they realized that the coming of Jesus was the fulfillment of the prophecy of the Old Testament, that those that were sitting in awful, hopeless darkness, suddenly in the blackness of their night, they saw a day star spring up like the sun rising. They saw light in their darkness. And Matthew and Zechariah and Luke, they recognized there was no better description of the coming of Jesus than a light shining in the darkness. And could I tell you, it still shines. Amen. Today, either here in the building, over the internet, somebody sitting in darkness could suddenly see a great light that dispels the darkness of their life, changes their outlook, changes everything about them. I just want you to know it still happens. I want to, first of all, to look at the darkness this morning. In Matthew, I read to you the people sat in darkness. I want to tell you there is a darkness. How many is aware that our world is a dark place? In my hometown of Shawnee, about 25,000, on the east end of Maine, close to where we live, there was always several taverns on either side of the street. Later, several of us got called to preach. We'd go down there on weekends and hand out gospel tracts and witness to those folks. But even as a young child walking up Main Street, I don't know the purpose of having their door open, but they'd have their door open. And even as a child, I was struck by how dark it was in those places. But a tavern isn't the only place that it's dark. Amen. There are some dark places. This world is a dark place. And a darkness has a power to it. In fact, Jesus said in Luke 22, I was daily with you in the temple, and you stretched forth no hands against me. Now you're doing it because this is your hour in the power of darkness. Everything about sin and Satan, everything demonic, is darkness, and there's a power to that darkness. If I had to describe exactly what that darkness is that I'm talking about, that darkness is ignorance. How many know that some folks just don't know, really? They really don't know about Jesus. They're in darkness. Darkness is confusion. There's nothing more dark than being confused, not knowing where to go, how to go, when to go, not knowing the truth, not knowing reality, not knowing purpose, just darkness of confusion. Darkness is hopelessness. Believe me, right now today, there are folks that feel like their life is at a dead end. Everything looks hopeless. Everything is despairing. And darkness is those things, ignorance and confusion and hopelessness. But I want you to know, darkness is evil. There is evil in the land and evil in people's hearts. It's a real darkness. There's darkness in the heart. There's darkness in the mind. I read this week that outer space is darker than night and death. And that is true. Outer space is darker than night or death. But I want to tell you something darker than outer space. It's the inner space of a heart without Christ. It's the darkness of heart. It's the darkness of mind. There's a darkness of the home. I don't care how many watts are in the light bulbs that are screwed in and in the lamps. There are some homes that are dark. I've been in them. I've been in them to pray with folks and to witness to folks. And there's a darkness in their home, a darkness of heart, a darkness of home, a darkness of society. All around us is darkness. There are dark places. There are dark times. There are dark deeds. There are dark thoughts. There are dark moods. Amen. Somebody has asked me, they said, Pastor, why are you against all this vampire stuff and all this zombie stuff and all this witchcraft movies? Why are you against things like Hunger Games? I've got one answer. All of that is darkness. And what fellowship hath light with darkness? You may disagree with me, but I believe instinctively and I believe emphatically that all of that stuff has come from the dark regions of the nether world. It's a darkness that has invaded our land. Amen. Call it what it is. It's a darkness. I have marveled as I have watched in my lifetime. Amen. I want you to go back just a few decades, maybe 100 years, and we had unreached people groups across our world in the interiors of continents, Brother Heath, and we would call those places dark places. Why? The gospel hadn't reached them, and since the gospel hadn't reached them, you had child sacrifice, you had vile sexual promiscuity, you had wickedness of every kind, you had no morality. It was dark, and then the gospel came, and the light shined, and folks talked about how Christianity brought hope and civilization to these countries and these places. But here's what disturbs me. The things that were in those people groups and those continents that caused us just centuries ago and decades ago to say they were dark, those very things America has adopted as a part of its contemporary society. You say, we don't do child sacrifice. I beg to differ. We have abortion, every type of sexual promiscuity, fornication, adultery, pornography, and America applauds it and welcomes it. It's the darkness of the land of the past, the people of the past, and yet we have adopted it. Our society is dark. It's a darkness. If you disagree with me, you need to take another look around. Amen. Some things only come out in the darkness of night. Think of natural creatures. Some things only come out in the darkness of night. Amen. I don't know if you've ever had the opportunity. I'm not recommending it. But if you've ever been in a building infested with roaches, amen, you can turn a light on and they scurry for cover. You leave the light on very long, you won't see a one. You turn it back off, wait a little bit, turn it back on, and they're everywhere. Amen. I'm not preaching against roaches. I'm preaching about blackness. Darkness is the cover for thieves. Darkness is the cover for murderers. Darkness is the cover for fornication. Darkness is the cover for adultery. Amen. Darkness is the cover of the kingdom of Satan. Amen. Darkness is the place where Satan is in power. He moves, he controls, he battles, he ensnares, he entraps in darkness. And here's the thing, church, you know this. I'm just repeating things you know. But Satan would like to keep every individual, every mom, every dad, every teenager, every child, he'd love to keep them in that darkness. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. He does not want the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God. He doesn't want the light to shine into their darkness. Oh, hallelujah. He may not want it, but if they want it, He can't keep it out. Someone ought to shout glory. Hallelujah. Oh, an awful thing. Amen. It's one thing. You say it couldn't be any worse, Pastor. It is. Listen to me. It's one thing to be in darkness, but it's another thing for darkness to be in you. Amen. You say, well, you're just referring to folks that are possessed of demons. Well, there's no doubt that's a darkness. But I want to tell you from Jesus' words that if you have an eye and a heart for the ungodly, you have an eye or a heart for this world and its sins, you have darkness in you. If thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you be darkness, how great is that darkness? In Isaiah chapter 5, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, but put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. I want to tell you one more time, church, before we move on. We're going to move past the darkness. We're going to get to the great light. But I want to tell you this prophetic word perfectly describes our country, our society, even our government today. What is dark, they call light. And what is light, they call darkness. You say, no, that's not true. Yes, it is true. Amen. We are told today, if we are enlightened, we'll accept homosexuality. If we are enlightened, we'll accept same-sex marriage. If we're enlightened, we'll accept adultery and fornication. Enlightened folks have arrived to a place in evolution and thinking. They're enlightened. They see that there's nothing wrong with those things. Amen. You can call it what you want, but the Bible calls it darkness, and for our world to call it light doesn't change a thing. In fact, the way you can tell it's darkness, look at the results, look at the fallout, look at the collateral damage. It's nothing more than darkness. Amen. Amen. To walk and to move in darkness is to hurt yourself. Jesus said in John chapter 12, Jesus said to them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. Amen. I mean, you walk in darkness, you're going to hurt yourself. It's not you just don't know where to go. You're going to hurt yourself. Amen. I've told you before, amen, there's some occasions around here I'll never forget. I'll never forget Victoria and Michael's wedding. One reason is, you see, I come in to check things at night, and I don't like to turn the lights on. I just know where to go, and I figure somebody's in here. I got the advantage if it's dark because I know where I'm going. I came barreling through. You know how I walk? Came barreling through there, and they had set up for the wedding. Not them personally, somebody had. And somebody dragged that welcome desk right out in the middle of the floor. In, I hit my shins. I'm not going to show you. I promise you. Rest easy. I've done the same thing in the Von Hall, but I got scars on my shins because I do this crazy thing of walking in the darkness. You don't believe? I'm telling you, you walk in darkness, you will hurt yourself. You'll destroy your mind. You'll destroy your sensitivity. You'll destroy your future. You'll destroy your life. Satan knows that. That's why he wants to get you in darkness, is that he can destroy you and hurt you. Amen. Amen. I don't want to see that happen to any soul. Amen. Darkness is a real thing. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Let's move on. Amen. Not only was it darkness, they were sitting in darkness. Everything's on the blink. Amen. Look in chapter 4 of Matthew again. The people which sat in darkness saw a great light. And to them which sat in the region of the shadow of death, light is sprung up. You see, amen, they're not just in darkness, but they're sitting in darkness. You know, to sit in darkness means something. Just to sit means something. I remember one time I was exercising this summer, and I got sicker than perhaps I'd ever been. And the only thing I could think of was sitting down. And the way I was sitting, people started gathering around. They said, "You're sick, aren't you?" I said, "Yes, it was the way that I was sitting." Amen. Maybe it's bad news. Have you ever had bad news and somebody said to you, or you said yourself, "I need to sit down because the news is bad"? You sit down when you don't know what to do. Amen. You sit there because you don't know the next course of action. People sit when they're in despair, discouraged. Amen. Remember in the Bible, they hung their harps upon the willows and they sat by the river Shabar. They're sitting. But the real picture here, I understand, is those that are sitting because they are confined within the imprisonment of their souls. They're sitting in prison, amen, with no way and nowhere to go and no way to get out. Many of our time are truly sitting in darkness. Now, you know as well as I do, if you walk in a room, maybe it's your home, maybe here, but you walk in a room and somebody's just sitting in darkness, that immediately indicates to you something's wrong with them. In fact, you won't walk be in there very long. You'll begin to ask them, if you find them sitting in darkness, "What's wrong with you? Let's turn some lights on." I mean, there's something wrong when somebody is sitting in darkness. And the Bible says here that these were sitting in darkness. I begin to have this was all happening in a second or two Sunday night. But in that figure that I saw a wife hunched over in the darkness. Her husband's supposed to be home from work hours ago, and he never called. And she knows what that pretends. I had an idea in my heart of a parent. It's past midnight. They're sitting up in a darkened living room because the teenage rebellious child hasn't come home, won't answer the texting. Even I see a young person behind the locked door of their bedroom. They feel like everything is hopeless. They feel like there's no way for them to go on, and they sit there upon their bed in darkness and discouragement. I'm telling you, there's a lot of people that are sitting in darkness. That's why I'm glad to tell you, for those of you that are sitting in darkness, there is a great light that can spring up. There's hope. There's help. There's healing. There's a future. There's an eternity. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. It's an awful thing to be sitting in darkness. Amen. May this never happen again. Hallelujah. Amen. The picture I saw was someone that had given up on finding. They've quit searching. They have nowhere to go. Nothing to do. No way out. A prison of mind, a prison of heart. Amen. But I want to tell you something. Please listen to me. When you talk about dark things, there's no place any darker than somebody sitting in a room. There's nothing darker than a computer screen with a pornographic site on it. Nothing darker. Amen. Nothing darker than sitting before that television in the filth and the promiscuity in the movie that you're watching. That's dark. 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 Sitting in darkness. Nothing darker than conceding hopelessness. Let me just read you a few scriptures. Way back in the Psalm 107. Brother, if you got that, help me there. You don't have? Okay. Psalm 107, "Such as sit in darkness in the shadow of death." There it is. "And in being bound in affliction and iron, because they rebelled against the words of God and contemned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore he brought me down. He brought down their heart with labor. They fell down and there was none to help. But they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses." Look what he did. He brought them out of darkness and in the shadow of death. He broke their bands asunder. Amen. Aren't you glad he brought you out of the darkness into his marvelous light? Hallelujah. I want to preach, last of all, I preach that there is a darkness. I preach to those sitting in darkness. But last of all, I want to preach about the great light. Hallelujah. Oh, aren't you glad there's a great light? Again, in Matthew 4, leaving Nazareth he came and dwelt in Capernaum. Verse 16, and the people that sat in darkness saw great light. I want you to know, whenever Jesus came to town, the light came. Whenever Jesus walked through the doors of a house, the light came into the house. Whenever Jesus came to a heart, the light came in. He is truly the great light. I want you to know, if there's darkness, there's only one remedy for darkness: light. Oh, I like to tell those that are sitting in darkness this morning, if you're in darkness, there's only one remedy. There is light. But I'll guarantee you one thing, amen, no darkness can ever, has ever overcome the light. Every time in the contest of light and darkness, light wins out. I said light wins out. Oh, invite his light into your heart. Every time it'll win out. Then I know one other thing. The greatest of darkness cannot overcome even the least of lights. I've been in evangelist quarters without windows, and you turn the lights out and it's dark. And you have a little, my old phone had a little indicator light on it. If it was on, just a little bitty tiny light, you wouldn't even notice it in the building. But I'm telling you, in that dark and evangelist quarter, that little tiny light, when my eyes adjusted, that little light lit up the whole room. It looked like a beacon. Hallelujah. I know there's some dark hearts, there's some dark places, but I'm not talking about any little bitty light. I'm talking about a great light. Oh, it shines greatly. It's got a great power. I know there's people's lives that are hopelessly in darkness. Some of you have family members. Their lives are encased, imprisoned by dark. Oh, but it's a great light. There's no place that can't shine. There's no heart. Hallelujah. There's no place the light cannot penetrate. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, I told you, if there's something wrong, if folks are just sitting in darkness, now listen, if they're sitting in a darkened room with the shades drawn, there's no reason to open their shades. If it's night outside, there's no reason to open the shades. There's no reason to go outside. Go ahead and sit there. That's all there is darkness. But if you're sitting in darkness and a great light, the sun is shining on the outside, open the drapes. Get up out of the chair. Open the door. Go out. Listen, if there wasn't Christ, you're sitting in darkness, there's nothing I can tell you. Leave the shades drawn. Just sit right there. But since Christ has come, I can tell you, open up the shades. Open up the door. Let the light shine in. It's a great light. Hallelujah. I love these scriptures. I'll read them and I'll be done. 1 John chapter 2. And again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light. A lot of people claim to have the light, but the true light now shineth. Hallelujah. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul says, for God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. When you meet Jesus, you meet the light out of darkness. Hallelujah. Psalms 112. Unto the upright there ariseth light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. The prophet Isaiah, the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. Peter said, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Why were we worshiping a while ago? Why were there folks moving in the spirit of worship? Because they realized, amen, he called them out of darkness into a marvelous light. Oh, hallelujah. Would you come, music? Any place on planet earth, wherever there is light, there will be life. Hallelujah. Jesus said, he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of light. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, his light. You have a darkened room, nothing's going to grow there. But his light gives life. Amen. You let his light shine in your heart, you'll just begun to live. Since God's amazing grace, his amazing light comes in, you will begin to live. How many's glad that those sitting in darkness saw a great light? Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I probably shared this in the past, but it was a powerful experience to me. I was in my study one afternoon studying, and somebody called. It was a lady. Couldn't hardly talk to me. She was so broken up, weeping and crying. Began to share the things of her life. It's just so hopeless. And I'm going to tell you right up front, people share their situations to me, and humanly speaking, I know nothing to tell them what to do to straighten out the mess. I mean, her life was in such a mess. She was so depressed. I'm making nothing up. I could literally feel the darkness she was sitting in at home when she was making that phone call. And she went on for some time. And finally, I called her name and I said, you know, I told her what I just told you. I said, I don't know what to tell you to do. But I know one thing. If you'll let me, I'll pray for you. And I knelt down there at my chair in the office, and I didn't even know how to pray, really. But I began to, you know, if we'll let him, the Spirit will help us. That way I began to feel the Spirit stir in me. And I wasn't being repetitious because I didn't have anything else to say. But I felt prompted, and I just began to pray. God, let your light shine in her darkness. God, let your light begin to shine in her. Oh, she began to weep. God, I just kept saying, God, let your light shine in her darkness. God, let your... And all of a sudden, she began to pray. I could tell when the light shined in her. Oh, she began to pray and called out to God. And she said, oh, I feel different. I feel what happened. The light shined in her darkness. Could I tell you this morning, his light can shine in your darkness. How many knows that by experience? Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Can we rejoice? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Just a few more scriptures and I'm done. Listen to this. Micah, rejoice not against me, O my enemies. When I fall, I shall arise. And when I sit in darkness, the Lord will be a light unto me. Hallelujah. John 8:12, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Chapter 12, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth in me should not abide in darkness. Oh, hallelujah. I'm glad the light has come. Amen. In Acts, it says that the gospel was to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among them which are sanctified by the faith that is in me. Hallelujah. Another scripture says we can rejoice because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth. If that does not move you, if that does not stir you, two more scriptures and I'm done. And this is a condemnation, that light is come into the world and men love darkness rather than light. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, because his deeds are evil. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds might be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Do you love the light? Maybe you've never seen the light. You'll love it, I promise you. Hallelujah. Would you stand? Hallelujah. The Christmas message. They that sat in darkness saw a great light. If you were one of those one day that was sitting in darkness and you saw a great light, I want you to lift your hands on this Christmas season and begin to worship him. I saw the light. No more darkness. No more night. No more darkness. No more night. Oh, hallelujah. No more darkness. No more night. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm going to tell you again, the darkness is now past, and the true light now shining. How many can say that right now? The darkness is past. Oh, let me hear it from the saints. The darkness is past. It's a thing of the past. It's my old life. It's where I was. The darkness is past, and the true light. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. No more living in darkness. Amen. Just a moment. First of all, you're here. And yes, a life without Christ is darkness. And truly, you're without Christ this morning. I'm going to invite you to come right now and let the light of Jesus shine in your heart. We use this step as an altar. Amen. You don't have the light of your life. You're tired of the darkness of mind, the darkness of heart, darkness of your world. You need the light of Jesus Christ. I want to invite you to come. Listen to the Spirit as He touches you and speaks to you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Would you come? Anyone in the building, you need Christ. Oh, the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. I want to keep that open. But you know, darkness isn't just sin and evil. Darkness, like I said, is hard times, difficult times, confusing times, not knowing when to go, how to go, what to do, where you need to go and do in life. I want to invite you this morning, if you have any kind of darkness in your life, you feel like spiritually you're sitting in darkness and you're going to let the light of Jesus shine into your darkness this morning, would you come and begin to fill these altars and just come and say, Lord, I love the light. Shine. Shine in my life. Amen. Others, would you come? I need the light of Christ to shine in my heart. Hallelujah. 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 We have some sisters pray here. Are there others this morning? I need the light of Christ to shine in my heart. What about it, young person? Maybe you're not there right now, but you know what I'm talking about. Those times you've closed the bedroom door and everything looks so dark. I want you to know there's a light even in those times. I wish we could have gotten to some few young people. Amen. Let them know before they did the horrible thing. Though it was dark in their life, there was a great light that could shine. Oh, hallelujah. If you've sat in darkness and the light has shined in your life, won't you come and worship and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for the light. Would you come? Fill these altars. Pray for these that have come. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth.
You don't know just how far away from home I've been.
Oh, hallelujah.
She said a shield.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah.
Could it be a straight beyond?
Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your light.
Mercy's outstretched hand. Now His grace no longer stoops to hear my cry. You see, I just want to know.
There's a light.
Tell me how far.
Oh, there's a light.
Will He reach to me in spite of where I've been? And I told her, He'll do whatever, whatever. Grace reaches lower than your worst mistake.
Oh, bless
your
name, Jesus.
And His love will run farther than you can run away, my friend. You'll do whatever, whatever it takes. You'll do whatever it takes. Love is patient, and He always hears a prayer, that He follows you despite the mire.
We rejoice in the light.
The best years in life wasted, why would He really care?
Bless your name.
What I have to give,
do you love the light?
Worthwhile.
Do you love the light?
see.
Hallelujah.
I just want to know. Tell me how far will I go? Will he reach to me in spite of who I am? Oh, let me tell you, he'll do whatever, whatever takes. His grace reaches lower than your worst mistakes, and his love will run farther than you can run away. My friend, he'll do whatever, whatever it takes. He'll do whatever it takes. He'll do whatever, whatever it takes. His grace reaches lower than your worst mistakes, and his love will whatever.
Oh, the light shining this morning. The light shining this morning.
He'll do whatever it takes. He'll do whatever, whatever it takes. His grace reaches lower than your worst mistakes, and his love will and his love will